Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They've got Hicks and Stanton, Sanchez and Duhar all injured right now, the 2-0. Deep drive right field. Kiss this one goodbye. It is gone into the second deck. Tauchman with a three-run homer. That is the first home run of his career.
Now, this is downright embarrassing. If you play for two more runs, you end up getting three with the home run. Little spinner again does nothing. Second deck.
7-0.
They might start playing New York now.
And that's where we're going to start today. Felger and Maz, we're from the Garden, from our Star Market Studios at the TD Garden in advance of Celtics, Pacers, Game 2. We'll also preview Bruins, Leafs, Game 4. We also have Patriots news to get to, a Robert Kraft development to get to. All of this, but we start with your Boston Red Sox. Maz, I guess the catcher really didn't make a difference last night, did he?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. So, again, Red Sox record this year with Blake Swihart as a starting catcher, 3-2. Christian Vasquez is a starting catcher, 3-9.
Whew.
Sandy Leon is a starting catcher, 0-1. 0-1. Just want to make sure we get that out there. Does anyone actually think it's still the catcher? Does anyone actually think that? 617-779-0985. Hello? Does anyone actually think it's the catcher? Or do people actually think that the Red Sox have their heads wedged right up their buttholes? Right up there. You tell me. What do you think it is?
You tell me.
I think it's the second thing. Okay? They got him wedged way up there, and they've had him up there since last November 1st. They won the World Series, and they haven't. They clearly haven't decided to turn the page yet. Like, to me, what other possible conclusion is there to come to? And I'll tell you what, I believe it more than ever now with Chris Sale. The velocity came back. We saw it. But you know what he didn't have was the location. So what happens typically, oftentimes, when a guy tries to ramp it up and isn't quite ready to do it? Oh, you can get it to 96. You just don't know where it's going. This is like that old thing, you know, he's throwing 98 in the eighth inning. Yeah, but is he doing it and still being able to put it where he wants? Because you're going to lose the control a little bit if your strength and all your buildup isn't there. So I think that's what's happening with Chris Sale. I think the Red Sox are getting exactly what they deserve.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. Because from a karmic standpoint and how they did Blake Swihart dirty last night, good. Good. I'm glad that happened. That's what you deserve. And I was for them actually bringing up Leon.
Oh, it's getting ugly. Keep going.
I was for them bringing up Leon. What could it hurt? You know, because at this point, the season so far has been a disaster. So if it makes these babies comfortable to have their little whoopee behind the plate, fine. But to DFA Blake Swihart and not one of these other bum pitchers that they're holding on to, it made no sense to me. So good. You got what you deserve.
Oh, yeah. No. They had to keep a spot on the roster for Erasmo Ramirez. Whose contribution to the Red Sox this year actually is greater than any other staff, a guy in the staff. At least he drilled somebody. Like, that I'll give him credit for. Brett Gardner took it right off the shoulder. I love seeing that. So that, good for you, Erasmo. As far as I'm concerned, you can stay.
Sandy Leon, 0-for-3 at the plate, 2 strikeouts, also had a throwing error. Chris Sale, his guy, 5 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits. Red Sox lose 8-0. How'd that work out for you?
I mean, really embarrassing across the board. Embarrassing across the board. Like, Sandy Leon will help us. They put him behind the dish. They scapegoat Swihart. Sale goes out there and gets his face kicked in again.
So, and it, I didn't realize this. Sale had a career ERA against the Yankees of 1.61. He just dominated that team. So maybe they figure, well, this winded his sails, right? He's comfortable against this team. Give him his catcher. That works out. And see, you know, see, we told you so. And they're off and running. Except it's just the opposite. It blows up in their face.
And we haven't even gotten to the point yet where the Yankees don't even have their real team.
Oh, my God. Not even close.
I mean, they got a dozen guys on the injured list. It's like, you know, this was like a spring training lineup for the Yankees, for crying out loud.
So Jimmy gave me some Vegas odds that I find interesting. To begin the year, they were a 90% favorite to make the playoffs. They were a 58% team to make the wild card, 32% to win the division, but 90% to make the playoffs. Today, after that game last night, they are now 52% to make the playoffs. They're now a 50-50 proposition. Do you agree with that?
No.
Or might it be lower?
No, I think it's a little better than that still, because I believe in their talent. And they have too many good players to be six.
Mass, they're 7.5 games out of the first 7.5 games.
I know. And I do put emphasis on April. I don't think it's irrelevant like a lot of people. But I also believe that there are a lot of bad teams in the league and that there's no way they are this bad.
Run differential of minus 40 through 18 games?
Yeah, the only team worse is the Marlins. And the Red Sox actually, I think, overtook the Marlins for an instant last night because I was charting them.
So now run differential matters when you're at the bottom of the league.
Well, you know, I mean,
I do know you
don't want to get buried too much. But the Marlins have the worst run differential in baseball. The Red Sox are 29th. Look, I'm pissed at them. How could you not be pissed at them? This whole thing, and there were so many elements to last night's game that you can look at, from Swihart to Sale to the Yankees' injuries to Paxton. And this is a big one for me, too, because I said I picked the Yankees to win the division this year. And part of the reason I picked the Yankees to win the division this year is that I think New York's got something to prove. They got into the playoffs under Boone. They thought they were going to cakewalk to the World Series last year because they had made it a year early. And then what happened to the team that thought they were going to cakewalk somewhere? They got into the playoffs and they got their asses kicked. So you know what they did? They went out and got themselves a guy that they deemed to be an ace at the front of their rotation. And then in the first meeting with the team that beat them last year in the postseason, James Paxton shoved the bats down your throat and they beat you 8-0. So I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. I believe in this sort of thing, that one team came out, wanted to make a statement, and the other team didn't.
The other team thought it had all the answers. Again, very arrogant, cavalier approach by the Red Sox in spring training, and it caught up with them. And it ain't just the catching.
And I believe in those numbers that Jimmy sent you. I think at this point it is 50-50, because I think the Rays are more than a cute story and a pain in the ass, and they're going to be there. The AL West is better than anybody expected. So, yeah, right now it looks 50-50.
You're 7.5 games out of I know it's April 17th or whatever, but 7.5 games already? Jeez. You're 6 games under 500. So
6-12, you know, let's do the math there, actually, now that I think of it. 6-12, which would be a pace for 108 losses.
Did you do that on your own, on your head right now, or you spent, again, overnight going over all these?
108 losses. Oh, 108.
Seems sort of symmetrical, huh. Doesn't it?
I saw him tweet it losses. Out. He put in the work on this one.
108 losses. Murray, how many games they win last year?
108, man.
108. Oh! Jeez, isn't that funny? Wow. Talk about the mirror image. Wow. 108 loss pace. That's interesting.
It's the whole team. The offense, too. So you say James Paxton. You could also say the Red Sox offense. The game was lost in the fourth inning. They're down 2-0. They get really a lucky double from Bogarts. Hits the top of the right field wall. He thinks it's an out. He slams his bat coming out of the box. Judge misplays it a little bit. Judge has got to have that ball, in my opinion. Bounces off the top of the wall for a double. Second and third, nobody out. Down 2-0 in the fourth. Okay. All set up to easily tie that game. And the middle of your lineup, J.D. Martinez pops out to right. I think Steve Pierce is next, lines out to right.
Yeah, two short balls to right field.
And then I think Moreland struck out.
Correct.
So it ain't just your pitching. It certainly ain't the backup catching. That I can tell you. And it's more than just your pitching. It's the entire operation.
I mean, really, it is. It's failures comprehensive across the board, and the defense on top of it. Don't leave any stone unturned. They suck at everything right now. They really do. And not only, but this has been true for the whole month.
No, I know.
Why are you laughing?
But no, because it's such a perfect way to sum up how the season.
Yeah, you sound like
so
a football coach.
They do. They suck at everything right now. What are they good at? Tell me what they're doing well. They're not doing anything well. They suck. They suck at everything. So there's just no right answer there. 6-12. They go to New York, and again, this should tell you where their confidence is too, because after they blew that opportunity, then you know that's it. Game's over.
Right, and it was nothing. Right, exactly. After they blew that, it was forget about it. Also, how many of those? You know, you mentioned the chances they've had to sort of make a statement or turn it around. Like, they've had so many this year. Whether, okay, season opener in Seattle, loss. Then you go to Anaheim. Was it Anaheim next?
No, it was Oakland next.
Oakland next. They lose the first game of that series. Was it 7-0?
Yep.
Then they go to Arizona.
15-8.
Horrible team, lose 15-8. Did they lose the first game on their homestand when they came home?
I'm pretty sure they did. I will double check it, but they lost to Toronto.
It was,
I remember right.
Toronto. I can't remember if it was the first or second game back. They lose. Even sort of Patriots Day.
They lost 7-5.
Come home, first game of the homestand, they lose. Patriots Day, sort of a marker of a day. I don't know. It's
yeah, that's right. It's a Red Sox day.
It's your day. They lose
8-1.
Now you go to New York. First game of a 2-game series down in New York, you lose
8-0.
And so every time that you have a chance to sort of go somewhere, reset, have a day, make a statement. You get your ass kicked pretty much every single game.
They're 1-5 in series openers. The one that they won was Baltimore. That's it. They won that one, and that was the second series of the year at home.
And then since they've lost 3 or 4.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Including Patriots Day.
And an alarming number of these games, these you know reset games, those series openers. And I think those matter for a team that is reeling. Because, again, it's like the 10th tee. Right, here we go. I can reset.
Second half kickoff.
And they get their asses kicked. They don't even lose. They get their asses kicked. Last night, 8-0. And Paxton, James Paxton looked like Warren Spahn on the mound last night, or Whitey Ford, for crying out loud. And look, he's a good pitcher. But again, I think, to me, I watched that guy pitch, and I watched his demeanor, and I said, no, this guy recognized what this thing is. This guy saw it and said, the Yankees brought me in. They need a frontline guy. The world champs are coming in. They lost to these guys in the playoffs last year. This is why I'm here. I am supposed to respond against this team. And so what did he do? He struck out a dozen guys and shoved the bats down their throats. Down their throats and sent them back to the dugout with the tails between their legs.
I'm just glad they addressed the backup catching situation because that was really an issue on this team. No, there's any question that was really bringing them down, man.
I mean, it's one thing, like, for the first week to go 1-5, bad start. Boy, they looked bad. But the fact is, right now, they're making fools out of themselves. They really are. They blame the backup catcher for starting out 6-11. Then they went out with their guy and their ace as a tandem in Yankee Stadium and got kicked in the face.
Okay, boys, we're going to start with Red Sox. Your thoughts, you're all lined up. We'll get you right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There is a 2-0. Swung on and into the air to deep right. That ball is high. Mid is far. It is gone.
second deck. It's a three-run home run from Mike Tauchman. Tauchman, the sock man. He hits a three-run drive into the second deck in right. And the Yankees have blown it open. They have a 7-0 lead.
Sorry about that. Kind of insult to injury, guy. Listen to that toolbox. Josh in New Hampshire, lead us off on the Sox last night. Go ahead.
You guys don't think it's the pitching, but I think it's the pitching. Right now, no one has proven to me that they are a good team right now. I think it's both the bullpen and starting rotation. If I was the front office, I would look at Dallas Keuchel or Kimbrel to bring one of them in. And then,
okay, let me just stop you there. I didn't say it wasn't the pitching. Of course it's the pitching. It's number one on the list. I'm just telling you that they're not doing anything right.
I don't think he appreciated our sarcasm.
They got shut out. So, I don't know. Seems to me the offense isn't quite exactly cranking it out either. But, yes, of course, start with the pitching. The second point, is it time to make not just a move on the backup catcher, Maz, but a move along those lines that he's talking about, Keuchel or Kimbrel?
Look, they're getting close. I mean, they're getting close. So their solution was obviously to go to the 25th man on the roster or something close to it last night. I like the Keuchel idea. I mean, that guy's a good pitcher, but they won't do it.
Put Evaldi in the bullpen, something like that?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Sure, I like that idea a lot. I mean, but they won't because, again, because they're not going to go over the luxury tax payroll now, too. So you got is what you got.
Billy, what do you got?
All right, you asked me to call back today because me and Maz were talking over each other. So I'm going to ask Maz right now who wants to go first.
You go.
Okay. I was making a point about Leon. I told you I had called previously before they even made the move. And I said I agree with the move because I believe Leon is the best catcher to call a game at Fenway Park with their pitchers, and they're more comfortable with him. That was my point. Now, today, Maz slept on it all night, and it really bugged him, and he went into all his learning lessons on one game. On one game, he just spoke for 5.5 minutes. On how bad Leon is. That's how much he doesn't know about baseball. Let's see what happens with the team. You just want to be negative, negative, negative. That guy knows how to call a game. Paul Sella already said he's the best catcher he's ever had. So you feel the way you want, I feel the way I want. Now you can.
Okay, in the meantime, 8-0. In the meantime, 8-0.
Yeah, and Billy, my reaction had nothing to do with anything you said yesterday. Okay, it has everything to do with the way the Red Sox have acted and conducted themselves during the offseason and into the year. So it's got nothing to do with you. Don't take it personally. And I think Leon's a good caller of games, too. I honestly was rooting for what Murray was rooting for last night. You're going to blame the backup catcher, and then you're going to put your guy out there and lose 8-0? Oh.
He goes 0-3, 2 strikeouts, throwing error. The starting pitcher gives up. I can't. 4 runs, 7 hits over 5 innings, and they lose 8-0.
And he didn't get the ball out of the infield on the one time he didn't strike out. He hit a little weak liner to second base.
Oh, yeah, a little bloop. Well, that was
what was he hitting at Pawtucket?
120.
120. 120. Yeah, well, that's what they deserved, a spiting last night.
3-for-25. Of course, he's hitting 120 because he isn't facing this staff. If he were hitting this staff, he'd probably hit like 320.
Chris in Linfield. Hi, Chris. Christopher.
Hey, what's
You're
up,
on the air.
How are you? What's going on?
Go.
How are you? All right, here I'm going to go.
No pleasantries, go!
All right, listen, you guys got to stop being so damn negative. It's 12 games, whatever, 15 games in the season. You guys got to tone it way down with the negativity. You guys don't even seem like your Boston fans. I don't get why you guys...
I'm not tuning it. They're done. How about this?
Attaboy.
They're not making the playoffs.
Attaboy.
They
Attaboy.
Suck.
Attaboy, Murray.
We don't have to tone it. Do your eyes work? Have you seen this team? All right, we were wrong about them last year. You still want to call up and blah, all right, we were wrong for mocking the 108 wins. They suck this year. They're probably not making the playoffs. I'm not toning it down.
Okay, so I'm not writing them off yet because, there's a lot of ability there, and they can get on a roll. But I do think that they have serious egg on their face and that they got a little too comfortable for their own good, and now they're being exposed.
And I'm not a fan. I've never said I was. They're 7.5 games out of first. 7.5. How many? And it's 18. You play 18 games and go 7.5 behind? That's hard to do. That's hard to do, to get that far behind in 18 freaking games with the talent that you have.
They're 7.5 out, and they only have 6 wins. Think of that. The gap is bigger than the games they've won.
Anthony and Weymouth, you got one?
Yeah, first, I just wanted to say that I do believe the Rays are legit this year. They've proven how well they can really manage that farm system over the years. But as you were saying, the Yankees are playing with an edge. I think the opposite is true of the Red Sox. Last year, they proved they were the best team both in record and by winning the title, having the reigning MVP. I don't think they have an edge anymore, and I don't think they have anything to prove, which is the problem. Thanks.
It's a huge issue, and I think most champions have to sort of battle that. I've never seen a team embrace it and sort of bake it in like this team did. So arrogant that they could handle it the way they handled it in spring and thinking they'd be okay. And, you know, if we're being honest, most of us felt they would be. I mean, so it's not like, you know, it's not like we called this. No one called this. Not even the most negative of the negative. Said 6-12, 7.5 games out of first. So, you know, if you want to say that we were whistling past the graveyard too, that's fair. Because we didn't say, boy, this is going to lead to a really slow start. You said 5-6 road trip. So that I'll give you.
I did, yeah. I thought they would start slow. I didn't see this, though.
So, I mean, no one really saw it coming, but you can look back in hindsight, which is what we do, and say, boy, were they confident in their ability just to slap it out there?
No, that's exactly it. Again, I think that in the simplest sense, what they did was they looked at it and said, we're not playing a lot of great teams here in the early part of the year. We're not going to be ready to go, but you know what? We'll go 500. We'll go 8-7 over 15 or over 18 games. We'll go 9-9. We'll be just fine. Then we'll hit our stride and we'll bulldoze everybody. They never expected this, and they certainly didn't expect their pitchers on a nightly basis to be throwing batting practice.
Austin in New Hampshire. Hi, Austin.
What's happening, boys? I was just looking up a quick stat there. The pitcher with the most wins is a guy named, I think it's Marcus Walden. He has 2, and he just got optioned to Pawtucket. Our best pitcher is in Pawtucket, boys.
Okay, he's not your best pitcher, but
I didn't even realize he had 2 of the wins. But the thing that is stunning about this performance is how universal it is. Like, how many guys would you say have really played well? J.D. Martinez has.
Maybe some of their bullpen arms.
Right, okay. And Price has been okay. Like, I don't have a huge issue with David Price. Overall, I look at Price and I say, he's pretty close. I mean, his ERA is, what, 3.9 or something like that? Like, overall, I'm okay with Price. The rest of them, almost to a man, every single one of them. You look at them and go, what are you thinking? Where are you? Are you ready? Including the manager and the pitching coach. Like, that's another one. I look at it and I say, here's a good one for you, too. Because I think the Red Sox get a little too cute for their own good and a little too smart for their own good. Chris Sale last night threw 48 sliders, and I'll double check the number, like 23 fastballs, something like that. You know what Paxton threw? 70 fastballs. 70. Because when you throw 97 or 98, that's all you need. If you spot it and you overpower guys, particularly early in the year, no problem. No, not the Red Sox. They got to pitch backwards because they have to fool you. They got to do changeups.
Well, they're preserving.
Okay. But
that's what they're doing.
But they did a lot of this last year, too. And again, and so I can't totally blame them for the approach. But you know what? It's still the best pitch in the game, the fastball. Everything spins off the fastball if you throw it right. They weren't ready to throw it, so that's part of the issue. But Chris Sale threw 48 sliders last night. 48.
Steve on Cape Cod, give me a Bruins take.
With Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh out, I argue that this is one of the biggest games for the Bruins in the last 7-8 years. Thanks, guys.
Yep. I wouldn't disagree with that. Door is ajar.
Agree completely.
Door is ajar.
If they lose this tonight, I'm going to feel like the series is done, and it's going to be a massive disappointment. This is a huge, huge game for the Bruins tonight.
Massive.
Is this one of these things where you look back and you say, remember the year Stamkos, Crosby, Kucherov, Malkin, all those cups in Pittsburgh, all that talent in Tampa got wiped out in the first round? You didn't have to face those teams, and you couldn't get past the Leafs? You think you're... That's what's facing the Bruins tonight.
You mean sort of like the 2006 Patriots, kind of, other than Indianapolis?
Sure,
the AFC
I get you.
Game?
Yes, you get Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl.
I mean, you know, it all fell your way. A lot of it fell your way. A couple of breaks here and there, whatever, and there was one game you had to win and you couldn't win it. And so, I don't know. I hear people saying today, boy, the Bruins have to be thinking the door's creaked open. not just creaked, it's wide open. Toronto's saying the same thing.
Of course. Of course, and they're in the driver's seat. So, yeah, why don't we do this? We'll get your Red Sox reaction all day, and we'll get back to your Red Sox reaction in a second, but why don't we check in Toronto. Bob Beer is standing by. We'll talk to him right after Murray's update.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pasternak shot, deflects wide of the Leaf goal. Zaitsev didn't get much on it. Played into the corner with 8 seconds left. Marchand back to the point. Pasternak closing. Near side, Krejci. Pasternak shot, stop, block. Two blocks made by Marner. What a play! Holy mackerel! The Leafs little guy is a hero right there. Grand Marnier blocks two shots at the end to preserve a 3-2 victory.
Again, sorry about that. That's the way it sounds up in Toronto. Maple Leafs Radio, end of game three, game four tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. They drop the puck shortly after 7. Dunkin' Donuts pregame starts at 6:30. It will be hosted, both of those, by Bob Beers, one of the voices of the Boston Bruins here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. He joins us now from Toronto on the expert hotline that I don't know who sponsors it. Volkswagen Dealer Expert Hotline. I'm sorry, we use it so little, I forgot the name. Volkswagen Dealer Expert Hotline, Bob Beers from Toronto. Bobby, thanks for taking the time. Give me your thoughts on what the Bruins are going to do with their lineup tonight and what they should do. You know, what they will do and what they should do with their lineup.
Well, yeah, the biggest question coming out after game three was, will they keep Pastrnak and Marchand and Bergeron together? And it appears that they will, at least to start the game. I think that it'll give them another shot to kind of play themselves through it and be able to produce there offensively. So I think if it's not going well, he'll either double shift Pastrnak or he'll just move him around and move some other people around and in his place. So I think that they'll start with that, and I believe that they'll go with Heinen, possibly up with David Krejci and DeBrusk, and Johansson coming back in the lineup with Coyle. And I think that they might go with Wagner on the third line as opposed to David Backes. So that would be the only choice,
Bobby,
is Backes or Wagner.
Why are they so reluctant to move Pastrnak off that first line, and is that the right approach?
Well, because they had so much success last year against Toronto, and it's just they feel that even when they've gone through some struggles during the regular season, they've always been able to play themselves through it. But I do think it's getting closer to the point where he makes that change. It's just a matter of when. I think it's a huge challenge for a coach. Mike is okay. You've got so much trust in these guys to be able to do the job. When do you make that move if you don't feel things are going your way? And how much rope do you give them to try to play themselves through it because you trust them and you've seen them do it before? And I think that's the spot that Bruce Cassidy's in right now, and just trying to have them play through it.
So, Bob, if you had to guess, is it a period? Does he give him a period? Does he give him three shifts? If you had to guess, what is it?
Well, it depends, right? If they're getting chance after chance and they're just not going in, then, he'll probably stick with it until they're figuring that it will go in at some point. If they're not getting anything, they're not doing anything, and the game is, 0-0 or it's 1-0, they're down, then I foresee that happening, probably after a period, yeah. That could happen in period as well, but it just kind of depends on, the situation of the game. Now, he'll move him around. He'll move Pastrnak around at times, coming after a penalty kill. You'll see him maybe with a different line. You might double shift him a little bit, you know, trying to get something going on that, you know, throughout the lineup and just trying to get him free to try to get his game going. It's not just him. It's just not just Pastrnak. It's all three of them as a group right now that are trying to kind of get it going offensively. They're not playing poorly defensively, 5-on-5, but offensively they're trying to get it going.
Bob Beers joining us from Toronto. What's the key for the Bruins tonight? And if it's production from the first line, you got to give me the second thing.
Yeah, special teams were coming after last game. I'd like to see them be more physical like they were in game two. I didn't see it nearly enough in game three. I thought Toronto was actually the more physical team in game three. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that energy brought maybe from the guys, especially from the guys that need to bring it. Certainly, best players have to be your best players, and right now that's the position that they're in, that they need that. But I think the penalty killing has to be cleaned up. And I'd like to see Rask maybe try to, you know, steal a game, because Anderson has been very, very good when he's needed to. He's made those big saves when he's needed to. Rask has made some as well, just not quite as many.
Bob, you mentioned some changes on the other lines. Why Heinen with Coyle? That thing has worked in this series. Why would Cassidy mess with that? Potentially move Heinen now up to the second line with Krejci, is what you said, right?
Well, that's just a guess, Tony. That's just my guess. I don't know if he's going to do that or not, but it might be out of necessity. I mean, who else are you going to put there with David Krejci? They've been searching for a second-line right wing all season long. They're still searching for a second-line right wing. And
how about Johansson?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that, especially coming off of illness. He's not real strong on pucks. You know, he's got to play with a guy that's – and not that Krejci's not strong on him, but Coyle, that's his game, is holding on to pucks and making plays. I mean, he might try that, you know, but coming off an illness, missing the last couple of games, got to see exactly where he's at as well. I don't know. They didn't skate this morning, so this is just my guess. I could be completely off base on it.
Bob Beers, what's the biggest thing that surprised you about Toronto, or the biggest factor they've had in leading 2-1 that maybe we weren't expecting?
Their commitment to team defense. It's been far better than it was towards the end of the season. And they made some alterations later in the year, but they've been committed to coming back. Their forwards have done a great job at coming back and making it hard for the Bruins off the rush to really do anything, and even in zone to really do anything. You know, a guy like Marner's just, he's been unbelievable at coming back. He's been unbelievable in all three zones for them so far. Tavares has made that commitment. Sometimes he doesn't have that commitment to play in that D zone. Matthews doesn't always have the commitment to play in the D zone. These guys want to get going. Nylander, same way. So there's an area right there where they've committed to helping out their D, and they kind of changed the way that they've played defensively to try to take away some of the Bruins' attack. Bruins need to do a better job of holding on to pucks and making plays below the tops of the circles. And if they do that and they can get inside their defense and get to the front of the net, I think that they'll have some success. But they haven't done enough of that in the losses that they've had.
Okay, Bobby, final question before we let you go. Got to get your take on what happened with Tampa Bay and Columbus.
Unbelievable. Unreal. I knew I thought Columbus would give them a series. I mean, I really did. I like the way Columbus matched up with them. They're physical team. They made all those changes at the deadline. So I thought, from the Bruins' perspective, I was happy that Columbus was playing Tampa because I thought it was a team that could really wear them down over a long series. I never saw a four-game win for Columbus. I don't think anybody really did. I mean, that's unreal to see what happened to Tampa there. And it's just, if Tampa was the prohibitive favorite going into the whole playoff, especially in the East is now wide open. And it's just a great opportunity for whoever comes out of this first round.
I was going to say, is the door ajar for the Bruins, Bobby?
Sure it is. Sure it is. I mean, you know, we just saw what Tampa did to Boston last year. So, yeah, Columbus is no cakewalk. They're good. They're strong. They're physical. They've got some guys, a lot of skill up front, skill size, mobile defense. So they proved that they're for real in beating Tampa the way that they did. And, you know, with Bobrovsky in that as well. But, you know, got to get through this one first. But absolutely door ajar with Tampa Bay out of the picture.
Okay, Bob, thanks for taking the time. We look forward to the call tonight.
Enjoy the game, guys. Thanks.
Okay, Bob Beers again. Catch him tonight on Dunkin' Donuts pregame starting at 6:30. We have puck drop shortly after 7 from Toronto here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We'll have a lot more Bruins thoughts to get to as we get your game ready, and we'll mix those in. As we go forward, you want to weigh in, you may, at 617-779-0985. We still got to pick our way through this Red Sox disaster.
Oh, and that's what it is so
far. Is that too strong of a word?
No. No, again, I mean, just a nice clean math today. A year ago, they won 108 games. They are currently on pace for 108 losses.
See what Maz is doing there? Your thoughts, Bruins, Sox, right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got to find a way to pitch better. I mean, this is flat out embarrassing for my family, for my team, for our fans. This is about as bad as it gets. I have to pitch better. I keep saying the same things, but at the end of the day, you go out there and give up 4 runs here, 5 runs here, 7 runs here, and I get into the 6th, 7th inning like I should. I mean, that's who I am. I'm supposed to pitch the 6th, 7th, 8th inning, finish games and stuff like that, save our bullpen, cut it off when we're losing, and keep winning streaks going. And that's not who I've been. I got to get back to that.
Chris Sale says he's an embarrassment to his family. A little strong.
Yeah. I mean, but you know what? This is part of the reason I like him, is that, you know, he'll overstate it, but he's talking about himself, right?
Like he's a nut in a good way.
Yeah, he's not afraid of criticizing himself. That team could use a little more of that, you know, which is why I was happy to hear Mookie Betts say it the other day. Like, okay, now there's a young guy that's actually stepping up and taking some accountability. I like that. Thank you.
Are you less concerned about Sale after he hit 97 last night?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it's a good sign. The velocity's there. The arm strength is there. And, you know, now the thing is he's got to get it all. He's got to be able to spot it. And I thought ESPN did a great job of this morning. It was Eduardo Perez, who does terrific stuff, I think, for them. And Eduardo Perez is not afraid to be critical, unlike most baseball players, former baseball players. And he showed a series of pitches where Sandy Leon was set up on the inside part of the plate and Sale kept missing middle, you know, outside and middle up over and over and over again. I mean, he was missing by, you know, foot and a half. And you're just going to get crushed. So it's not there. He can't spot it.
Okay, Tim and Quincy on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys? One, right now, Chris Sale sucks. And I want to comment on that last caller that was calling you guys negative. Is this guy delusional? I mean, if you say you're a Red Sox fan, you just got smashed by the Yankees, and you're saying it's no big deal? Like, what's wrong with these people? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, no, thank you. And so, you know, when Maz does this when they're 12-6, then you can call up and say negative. They're 6-12, 7.5 games out of first. The worst run differential in baseball, I'm sorry, second worst. I didn't realize the Marlins had passed them. Worst start in baseball by a World Series champion since that Marlins team that was intentionally bad. I mean, what do you say about the team right now?
Well, and what was that other stat that I saw this morning? It is the worst start by Red Sox pitching after 18 games in their history. History, or something like that.
And they have a good staff.
And they've been around 119 years. We're not talking about the Tampa Bay Rays here. 119 years, they've never been this bad on the mound.
No, I think they deserve some heat. David in New Hampshire on the Bruins. Go ahead, David.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just real quick, obviously the path for the Bruins to win the Cup is pretty it's open now with Tampa and Pittsburgh both getting swept. And then obviously we got to get by Toronto, and I'm obviously happy we won't be seeing Washington at least for a little bit. But just kind of want to get your thoughts on tonight's game and kind of your outtake on really what you guys think is going to be the result of the series.
So, I mean, I still like the Bruins, but if they lose tonight, look out. And, you know, I hate trying to predict the future. I think the Bruins still are a better all-around team. And when they put it together, that should show. And they've been a team that's overcome all sorts of stuff all season long. And so that should translate to now. But I'll just say, on the other hand, these teams are exceptionally even. I don't know how many times Maz has to tell you these numbers. The way they've played regular season and playoffs the last 2 years is a dead heat. Wins, losses, goals for, goals against, go on any metric. It's exactly almost dead even between these teams.
I mean, if it plays out the way it has played thus far, the Bruins win the game. It has been this, you know, you win one, I win one kind of thing, but really it's been going on. But 18 games the last 2 years, it's 9-9. In the playoffs, it's 5-5, and in this series, goals scored 8-7.
So here's a creeping fear for me, is that the Bruins are just overrated. They're a good regular season team, and Cassidy is really good at pushing buttons and sort of mixing things around and getting their attention, and I think he's been an excellent coach since he took over. But then when you get in the playoffs, it's a little less about that, and it's a little bit more about our guys versus your guys. And now we're looking at this roster and this goalie and this makeup versus some of the teams across the league. And that advantage of pushing buttons and effort and things like that are mitigated because everyone's trying hard and everyone's engaged. And then that sort of the gap that you can create in the regular season with those advantages go away in the postseason. In other words, maybe they're just not as good as they look.
I mean, I worry about that, too. I do. I don't know how you can't worry about it at this stage, which is why I thought, by the way, that the whole point of the deadline was getting a couple of more players, you know, guys that belong here. That's why I like, you know, look, Bob Beers could forget more hockey 10 times over than I'll ever know. But Tanton Heinen on the second line, when you've got Johansson and Pasternak there, what the hell are we doing? Leave Heinen where he is. He's a third line player. Can we put Johansson or Pasternak there?
Derek in Foxborough. Good thing they got Sandy Leon up here last night, right?
Yeah, it definitely didn't work. But I think what people are missing about the catcher situation is Dombrowski didn't draft Swihart. He was never his guy. I don't think he ever wanted the player. I mean, he stuck him in left field a couple of years ago, so I don't think he ever wanted him. And, you know, let's see. I mean, if Evaldi and Porcello, they're the ones who have been worse than Sale. If they respond to Leon, then maybe it can work. But it definitely didn't work last night.
Right. Didn't work last night. But just because someone's not your guy, I hate that sort of managing.
Yeah.
So do I. And honestly, I it's a logical conclusion, but I don't think that's what happened here.
Well, Evaldi's getting the start tonight, so there was the lineup was just released. So let's see. And Sandy Leon's not in. So, yeah, no, that's great. The team savior, after being brought up from Pawtucket last night, he's actually not behind.
But there was a good comment by Dombrowski yesterday about how there was a, you know, there was a split in the organization about Swihart and Leon at the end of spring training, and ultimately he made the call. Well, Swihart was on the team. So clearly Dombrowski chose Swihart.
Yep.
So I think Dombrowski wanted Swihart.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Max.
I think it's Cora that didn't want Swihart. And I think that was apparent, again, going back to the third game of the season when they lost at Seattle with Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound and Swihart behind the plate, and the pitching coach came out and ripped the game plan or ripped the fact that they didn't adhere to the game plan, which is calling out the catcher. So I look at that and I say, they were ready to push the button on this guy before the season even started, which, again, fine. I disagree with it. Fine. The fact that they did it the way they did, another mistake. If you were going to blow it up after 17 games, you should have traded his ass in spring training and gotten a relief pitcher for him. That's what you should have done.
Jake in Boston on the Sox. Go.
Guys, I called you 2 weeks ago. I wanted Cora out. And again, it may be your guilt here, your left-wing guilt. And maybe if he sounded like Grady Little, he'd get criticized. But that's not why I called. This is 1996 all over again. And when it gets late this early, you've got two choices. One is you fire the manager and you bring in one of the couple of World Series winning options on the market, like a Jim Leland who's close with Dombrowski, like a Joe Girardi who's sitting there, like even Tony La Russa who could be sitting there like Jack McKean in 2003. Or you examine trading Mookie Betts now and trying to salvage your farm system, which is non-existent for a rebuild. He doesn't want to be here. He has maximum value now. Just trade him while he's got one more year of arbitration left. Those are your two options. It's getting late early. Don't sit back like you did in 1996 because you're just going to waste the season, waste a whole bunch of money, and you're going to be sitting right back here at square one next year with no farm system and Mookie Betts when you're closer to free agency.
Okay, Jake. I didn't mind the call. The left-wing guilt thing I don't get.
Well, no, I my guess is because Cora's a minority. He thinks we're defending him.
Protecting him?
I guess.
I spent all last year ripping him until they, you know, till about the third month of the year, and it was clear he was good and knew what he was doing.
I feel like you should be beating the crap out of him and the coaching staff to no end right now.
We have been, but do you fire him?
No, please. Come on. Let's not get ridiculous. Like, you know, that's what the guy can manage, clearly. Okay, he can manage. But he made a big mistake here in terms of the overall approach going into the season.
And again, I blame the whole team. Because I think the nerds were involved and the front office was involved, and this was a whole approach about health and a new frontier on health and an advanced approach, advanced metric analytics on health. Yeah, even again, when they hired some of these new nerds, they hired like 3-4 new geeks and put them in the front office, and they were talking about one of the things that teams haven't focused enough on is health and advanced analytics on health. And I think this was all part of it, their approach in spring training. It was all a plan. It was a whole organization.
So I don't rule that out for a second. I also think that the players have to bear a lot of it. So I keep coming back to 04. Okay, in 04, if there was ever a team that deserved a hangover, it was the 04 team. They came back the next year, and they sputtered a little at the beginning.
No. Well, 03, they lost, Maz. So, No.
I mean,
05.
Right. I mean, the 04 team that won it when they came back
in
the next
05.
Year. Correct. I still think of them as the 04 Red Sox, is what I'm saying.
But in 2005.
Yes, when they came back that year, if there was ever a team that warranted a 6-12 start, it was them. Given with it. But you know what? They didn't do that. And you know why? Because they had veteran guys that also knew that they had to play another season, and so they came back and they were competitive and they were committed. This group, I still think there's something with these young guys that, well, we won our title, now we can start to coast a little bit. And I'm just saying, don't leave them off the list.
Let's pick this up on the other side after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here, folks.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.